Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today is the glorious, beautiful Ronnie Karam. Hello, Ronnie. How are you?
Hello.
Today, we are talking Below Deck Down Under. But before we get into that, time is running out to watch the Crappies replay after Friday night. It is gone forever. So go check that out. Go to watchcrappens.com and the links are there to watch the replay on Kizwe. Also, join us on Patreon because we have all sorts of great stuff on there, including a weekly bonus episode. There, our newsletter lives there, even if you're not even a Patreon subscriber. We also have Crappens on Demand. We can watch us on video. Today, the treat on video is that I'm back in my childhood bedroom and the air conditioner still has its bonnet on because it's still a little cool in Katona, although it's warming up. But yes, I'm here in Katona, and you can see, look, there's a picture over there and there's a ceiling. Also, we have ad free on Patreon, and we also, there's something else we have amazing on Patreon, Discord community. There's something else, but Patreon's great.
Bonuses.
Come join us.
Bonuses, ad free, newsletter. Other thing. Yeah.
It's just a great place. Actually, there's actually a really nice community on Patreon. So just for that alone, come join it. So that's at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Thanks to everyone who joined us for Amazon Live yesterday. Had a lot of fun time showing off some glassware. And Ronnie showed off some cool kitty pants. So that was all fun. That's all there is about that. But yes, I am here today.
By the way, this is a unique recording situation. Not children's pants.
Hat. I was trying to be cute by saying kitty, but it sounded like kitty cat pants.
Just in case you think I'm like, hey, here's some Japanese cat pants. Here's some kitty pants.
Yeah, not that. But I took a red eye here to Katona because today's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday to my mom. She turned 50 years old. Can you believe it?
Well, happy 3 years birthday, old. Carolyn.
So I flew in for my mom's birthday and so I took a red eye, and this is the first time I've ever recorded after a red eye, and I was really excited because there was like no one on the plane. It was a fairly empty plane, and so I got upgraded all the way up to the tippy top to Delta One, and I was like, yes, and I was especially excited because I knew we were going to be recording today. I was like, yeah, that's basically a first, yeah.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, good. That means I'll actually get to be able to sleep. I never sleep on red eyes. So, you know, there's like the seat goes flat and everything. And I was so excited. First of all, also a lady came on and she brought a giant, it's not even a bouquet. She had like 50 to 100 roses, like a giant, like it was like the like a tree trunk worth of roses. And she was like, can this go in the overhead? I was like, how did that even get past security? That's not carry on. It was bigger than a carry on. And she had all these roses. It was crazy. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is I tucked myself in and I went to sleep and I was sleeping so soundly. And then in the middle of night, I'm jolted awake because someone has fallen on top of me on the airplane. This girl, this girl was coming back from the bathroom and she fell on me. And I was like, what? I was like, what? And so then I was like, whoa. And then she got up and she fell back down on me. I was like, what are you doing? And I sort of like try to sort of push her up and she fell again on me. I was like, what is this drunk girl doing? She fell on me. And so that third time, I was still lying down. I don't know how I did this. I grabbed her by the waist and I threw her down the aisle. And I go, please. Because I had just woken up and there was like a drunk girl who was falling all over me, like
so she was drunk.
I don't know, because then when I woke up in the, like, all I saw was like headphones and a nose, and she was like, whoa. When in the morning when the lights came on, I saw her, she's like a 21 year old girl. She didn't show any evidence of being drunk. Maybe there was turbulence, maybe she was disoriented, but she like followed me once. It's like, I know, follow me once, that's fine. It's not fine, but it's like fine. It's an accident. She didn't even say like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. If she had given me like, I am so sorry, I would be like, hey, it happens to all of us. But she, the entire time, she kept her eyes on the back of the plane. Like she was like clearly trying to get to her seat, but she couldn't get there because she kept on falling on me. And I'm like, Are you even aware that you've fallen on me? And so,
are you a robot? Why are you not acknowledging that you were just on top of me?
Yeah, it was like she was just going forward, but she was like sideways on me. And like, I don't even know how I threw her. Like, I didn't like throw her, but it's sort of like I knew that I couldn't just keep on like tapping her to be like, get off me. I had to actually physically get her away from my seat. So if she's going to fall down, she'll fall on someone else because I was sick of being fallen on. And so I felt like I was violating her because I literally grabbed her and her, like, it was like I felt her rib cage. I was like, but I literally just had to like take her. And I don't know how I did it from like a lying down position, but I just sort of like took her and I was like, ugh. But I don't know why the only thing I said during the entire thing was, please,
please. So nobody said anything? Like, there were no flight attendants that said, like,
everyone was asleep. The flight attendants weren't there because they were on break. It was like, I was like, what is happening? And then, of course, I couldn't fall asleep after that. So I got like 2.5, maybe 3 hours of sleep, but I was sleeping so soundly. And of course, the one time I finally sleep soundly, of all the places and of all the empty seats, by the way, she fell on me. So
three times. Wow. So when you were leaving, did she say sorry? Like, did she pass by you and say like, so
I don't think she
sorry.
Even was aware. I don't think she was aware. I don't, or she was embarrassed. And I felt bad too, because she was young. So then I was like, she was like a young ginger. And I was like, oh, you know.
Doesn't she go through enough, Ben, without being thrown down a plane aisle by some man?
Please.
But don't fall on me. Even if you fall on someone because of turbulence, I think what you do is you go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Right? Like, that's the natural thing. If you fall on someone and you don't say anything, I'm just going to assume you're drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And I think she was now that I said.
Wow.
But anyway, that was my adventure.
Well, we are connected because I was also woken up in the middle of the night. Nobody fell on me, but mine was the fire alarm thing just started going, meep. You know, it does that.
Oh.
And then it goes like, there's like 2 minutes where nothing happened. You wake up and it's like, what was that? Well, I was just dreaming, maybe.
Yep.
And you start falling back asleep, and then it goes.
Yep.
It's like, God damn it. And it's a really high ceiling. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to ignore it. So then I start falling asleep. So got pull out that ladder, waddle out there in my underwear, get the ladder, drag it into the thing, then dig through all the drawers to see where I had the D battery. What do you call the little button batteries? The ones with the buttons, whatever they are, the button batteries. Had to dig for that. Which I'm proud of myself for having, because that's some dad energy right there, to just have a stack of those button batteries if you need them. I was proud.
I know. You know, the first rule of smoke detectors is if the battery dies, it's only going to tell you in the dead of night. It's like, well, I don't want to interrupt him. He seems like he's having a nice breakfast, and I don't know, like, he's working. I probably shouldn't interrupt. You know when we should do it? Let's do it at 2 a.m. Yeah, let's do
it. Yeah, when nothing's going on.
Always.
Oh.
I literally just did that a month ago. Same
and
thing.
And you can't even just take out the battery because it still keeps beeping. You have to like figure out how to unplug it from the little sock, whatever. And the one in here is still unplugged, so I'm probably going to die, but whatever.
Same thing happened to me. I literally a month ago, it was 3 a.m, and the next thing I know, I'm like hauling a step ladder upstairs to climb onto it. I'm like bleary eyed. I'm like the girl on the airplane. I'm about to fall over or something. And I'm like climbing up and I'm like, you're trying to take it apart. And still like, even though you're at the top of the ladder, it's still a little too high. So you have like this weird thing with your arms and you're pulling at it and it doesn't come out. And you're like, oh, just stop beeping.
Yeah. It's the worst. Well, the point is Below Deck. Am I right? So here we are with Below Deck Down Under season 4, episode 6. Gossip Boy. This guy's such a creeper, this Mike. We all knew he's a creeper. He grossed everybody out in the beginning. And you know, my thought in the beginning was, okay, just because he has stupid hair and stupid eyebrows doesn't mean you should judge him. You know, don't judge a book by its cover. But then the other part of me is like, well, how else do you buy a book? You look at the cover. And if the cover's stupid, you don't buy it. Of course you judge a book by its cover. You read the back cover. You look at the author picture on the, you judge the book by its cover. That's the point of a book cover. So yes, you should judge books by their cover.
Yeah. If we don't judge books by their cover, why do they even have covers in the first place?
Exactly. Beyond
protecting the interior pages. Why is there an entire industry devoted to like to people and places being depicted? Why does Fabio have a career if we're not judging by a cover?
Exactly. Okay. So judge books by their cover. This guy was gross from the beginning. We all knew he was going to end up being a creeper. He's still, you know, on the fairly innocent side of being a creeper with his whole Ellie thing. But his whole, like, last week trying to kiss Ellie and then her not kissing him, but then just, like, pecking him because he was already, like, in her fucking face. And then just going, like, oh, you're only going to get a peck. And then his reaction is like, ooh, I got to peck from Ellie. I got to peck. I've got a chance. It's like, you're so gross. Just stop, Mike.
He's just annoying. I don't know. For me, I'm less grossed out and more just like over it. Like, he's just like someone who'd be so annoying to work with because he does just gossip all day, but like not in a fun kiki way. It's more like he just walks up to you like, did you hear the thing about the soda machine? I'm like, I don't care. I'm trying to like do my forms right now, you know?
And he's also he's like a judgy gossip, which I'm a judgy gossip too. I mean, listen to this show. Like, we're gossips and I judge, yeah. But he's, I don't know. It's, yeah, he's not a fun gossip. It's not like, ooh, so-and-so's cheating on their boyfriend. It's like, they're cheating and they have a relationship and they should respect their relationship. Shut up, town crier. What are you so moral about? You're just jerking your dick on OnlyFans and then coming to get on everybody else's morals about everything. Shut up. It's none of your business.
He only got sanctimonious to justify the fact that he was gossiping because he got into trouble, you know? So everyone's waking up. It's six. Most people would have thought it was maybe 7 a.m. Some would have even thought it was 6:55 a.m. But the reality was it was 6:56 a.m.
Super.
And everyone woke. Yeah, it was a minute later. You know, a lot can happen in a minute. A girl could just fall down on you in that span of that minute and your entire record of your day has changed. You know,
your whole life changes. It was your sliding doors moment. How different would your life be if that girl hadn't fallen on?
I would have had probably another hour of sleep. So
I'll
then,
tell you what could happen in a minute. Meep. Meep. 6:56 a.m. Jenna is waking up and telling Alicia, oh, Eddie tried to kiss me 1,000 times last night. And she's like, did he? Oh, that's crazy. Then we go to Mike and Eddie's showering and they're talking. And Mike's like, I'm so proud of you, Eddie. I'm proud of you. I don't know. I don't know why. It just feels like last night you were on fire. You're on fire last night.
It's like, yeah, I had a really good time last night. And then Ben does this weird strut out of the guest room. He's like wearing all white. He looks like he just took some weird exercise class. And then Jenna.
Skinny man with wine belly. He's like a skinny holder of like a wine sack.
Yeah. It was strange. It was a strange look. And then Jenna and Betula and Alicia are getting ready. And Jenna's talking about how Eddie tried to kiss her last night and everything. And then it's like the day after they're all catching up. And Eddie is now telling Mike, like, you know, who did give me a funny eye though? Alicia. Anytime I was there with them, you know, Jenna and Alicia, she kept being like, And Mike's like, yeah, we were sort of like cracking on with everyone else. Maybe that attention thing. She needs it. She's feeling a little bit left behind. And he's basically saying, like, you know, Alicia's got a boyfriend. She's such a free spirit, fun girl. I wonder how fun her boyfriend is.
I mean, her boyfriend's been her boyfriend for 2 months. So
yeah,
we can all calm down over here. So then we go to Jenna and Alicia. And Jenna's like, yeah, I think the great guy. It's really cute and everything. Then Alicia says, yeah, I mean, he's going to go get himself a kiss, no matter who it is. And Batool's like, Alicia, be a good friend, please. And she's like, it's just banter. It's just banter, Batool.
The text that he sent was just so ridiculous. I'm like, actually, you sent the first text, but that's okay. Actually, I'm like embarrassed. My boyfriend knows I'm a flirt, and he actually always enjoys that about me, and he can trust that I would never do anything wrong. But he knows I'm going to be faithful. But last night, that took a step too far. I need to respect the fact that I'm in a relationship. God bless my soul. I'm like, you literally just said on TV that you will go to another country to avoid breaking up with someone, and then you went and flirted with someone else. So it's more than just the text or the issue here.
Yeah, Alicia. I don't know. That poor boyfriend. And she's like on the hotness scale. She's like way hotter than the other boyfriend because they keep showing the pictures of the other boyfriend. And I'm like, yeah, this girl, he's a temp. He's definitely a temp.
Yeah. He's sort of giving like Zoloft ball energy. And I'm like, I don't think this is going to work out.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like he has a really big truck and a really tiny wiener.
Not that fun, is he? So then in the galley, Eddie is talking to Ben about last night, and he's saying, like, yeah, Jen and I were playing, like, Truth or Dare. It's like, oh, did you kiss her? He's like, yeah. Did you kiss her on the sugar lumps? He's like, yes, I did. Ben's like, oh, I think young love on a boat is a healthy thing, and I'm happy for both Jenna and Eddie. Did I sound sincere? Because I really am trying. Because Jenna's pretty, but she's a very pretty girl, you know? But I'm not blind, you know? I didn't initiate anything, and I probably won't. I've just got over a pretty tough relationship. I don't know if you've heard. $50,000 for a wedding that didn't happen. Oh, I'm sensitive now.
Yeah, Ben, I don't know how that relationship with Jenna's going to work. Anyway, I can't really imagine Jen in a relationship. I can't imagine Ben in a relationship with anybody, really, except like a box of.
I just remember.
I just don't see it working out.
No. I just remember when we walked by him at BravoCon and he was on the slots and he was just there, just like drunk alone, just heading from the slots and like smoking a cigarette with a big smile on his face. And I was like, okay.
We said hi and he's like, oh, Angela.
Okay, well, have fun.
Good talk.
Good talk.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now it's 27 hours until charter. Actually, it's 26 hours and 47 minutes because it's 9:13 a.m. So they're cleaning the boat and Alicia goes to her sanctuary, the laundry. And then Jennifer calls Alicia to the cabins and everyone's annoyed because they're hungover, you know. So clean. So now in the galley, Jason sees Ben and he's like, oh, Benny boy, how'd you sleep there? And he's like, oh, I got 10 hours. I actually feel a bit guilty.
And then Alicia and Mike are cleaning cabins and Mike is like, he enjoys making beads. And she's like, shut up. Do you enjoy making beads? She's like, I do enjoy doing my job properly. Come on. He's like, well, do you know if I was your boyfriend at home, I'd be fuming. She's like, yeah, I know. Cause like for me, I don't care. I'm single. But if you and me girlfriend or me wife, she's like, I don't want to hear it today. Let's make this bed, please.
Yeah. Who asked you? And you wouldn't know anyway, because you're never going to get a girlfriend. Okay. You fucking creepo. That guy's just always in he's always in a bar, like dancing by himself, all greasy, hitting on people that don't want to be hit on, and then not stopping. Like, oh, you don't fancy a dance, do ya? And then he'll like send you like a side of peanuts or something and then like wink at you from the end of the bar. You're just a creep. Just constantly asking to play Jimmy Buffett on the, you know, on the fucking.
Spend more time looking up a decent haircut and less time focusing on other people's relationships.
Spend less time implanting ball hair onto your scalp. Okay.
Spend less time forming your hair into the shape of the rubber things at the bottom of a crutch.
Yeah. Spend less time trying to look like a dust bunny that I have to clean up after every time I pet my dog.
Yeah. And then we'll talk.
And then
so in the galley,
we'll have a meeting, Mike, about my morals.
That's exactly right. In the galley, Ellie and Ben are there. Moral of the story is shut up. So Ben is like, all right, honey nuggets, let's clean this up. It's time to rock and roll, love.
She's like, we're getting there. I'm starting from here, then I'm working my way around, because that is the plan. I'm organizationally.
Well, I'm one of those people that have to have a very clean, very zen environment. You know, that's what they always say about me, Ben. Zen Ben. So I can attribute my timing delays a bit to the discombobulation of this bloody shambolic machine that I live in, and I'm going to sort her out.
So Ben starts, he's cleaning this oven. Ben is so excited to be like, I'm going to be on top of things this charter. So he's cleaning this oven and basically the fan starts doing what your smoke detector did. It's like, except it's giving like this weird, like sad little alarm. It's like,
I'm sad. I'm a fan and I'm sad. Wee, wee, wee.
I'm a sad fan. So he's like, God damn it. What's happening to this? I don't do this. Please don't do this. I don't need this today.
So then we go to Jason's
The most likable thing about Jason, I don't hate Jason or anything. I just think he like avoids confrontation when that's kind of his job. But I do love this about him. He loves peanut M&Ms. The man is always eating a peanut M&M. So he's chomping on his peanut M&Ms. He dropped some and then he picked it up and he ate it, because that's what you do with peanut M&Ms. And that's why they were made so hard and smooth, because even if you drop them, they don't collect dust or germs.
Mm-hmm. Not in your mouth, not in your boyfriend's hand. Why weren't you putting it in his hand? So
that M&M was talking to you. Your boyfriend's not going to like that. Talking to you by a green M&M. Boyfriend's going to be very, very upset.
He's like, if the other M was hanging out with an N, then you have an M&N. So then Ben calls Jason. He's like, come to the galley, please, please, please do the opposite of my bride and come to me. And so Jason goes to the galley and he's like, there's a fan malfunction and I can't do the tartar without this oven. It's fucking bullshit. So they call, Boris, the engineer. And he's like, well, it's fan broken. We ordered a new fan, but what can you do? You can have borscht.
What, a fan? You need a new fan? Got a new fan. It doesn't work. Well, fuck.
Oh, I tried to get a new fan. The fan come when it want.
Get the fan, man.
And then we go to Eddie and Jenna, and they're talking about their day. And Eddie's like, oh, today's pretty fun. Sorry for kissing you last night. She's like, no, it's fine. You don't have to apologize for that at all. And he's like, well, I should have asked first, shouldn't I? And she's like, well, I never expected to kiss Eddie, but it's like my first mustache, And it's not really my type in general. I don't think my future husband will be doing manual labor. He'll also be an older guy, of course, but Eddie has his head screwed on properly. He's a hard worker. He's so kind, but it's kind of cute, but. Mullet, mustache. I can't do it.
Poor women on this boat. They really don't have too many options. It's like Ben, who is like a melting candle of a human. And then you got Eddie and you got Mike. It's just, and Joao. There's just really not a lot to offer. And Eddie, to me, Eddie seems really nice, but he also, his energy is kind of like, he's like the cool guy in the marching band fraternity. So it's like, okay, you are the cool guy in your social circle, but you're overall like in the weird fraternity that is like endlessly doing 80s music, like dance parties. And I love an 80s dance party. Don't get me wrong. But like, we know the vibe of this frat, don't we? And like, yeah. he's like the cool guy. They're all like, wow, there's Eddie. He's the cool guy. But like to the rest of the campus, everyone's like, okay.
Yeah, he may be a cool guy there, but he's still getting pushed into a locker, Yeah. So then Eddie and Joao are in the mess, and Eddie's looking through his texts, and he's like, holy fuck, when did I send these? I don't even remember. Oh, God, below deck where nobody remembers anything the next day. It's a time-honored tradition where nobody remembers anything. Oh, please, you guys aren't all that blackout drunk. Cop to it, okay? Mm-hmm. Grow a pair. So Joao's like, what did you say in the text? He's like, well, Alicia texted me last night. Oh, God, I don't remember. She said, I haven't a clue what's going on in my head, but you need to get out of it. Oh, wow. And believe me when I say I haven't been able to stop looking at you. And then she goes, call me crazy, but I'm not wrong. Same too. But you've been getting it on with Jenna. And I said I would drop it in a second to be an alien with you. Oh, dear. See how that goes down. Make a right, make a left, make a right, make a right. Then you're in a square and a march and a march and a square.
It's like, Eddie, there's no game happening right now. So he's like, oh dear me, drunk Eddie sending out Hail Marys at 3 a.m. That's not great. I want to make more of an effort with Jenna, like getting more and more, I like getting to know her more and more. Oh man, I'm in the shit. What am I to do? Like, that's classic Eddie over there. Classic Eddie. What a ladies' man.
It's going to be a fucking explosion, mate.
Are you marching to I'm Bad by Michael Jackson?
Are people not getting into formation? We're supposed to be making a goldfish on the field. There is no field. We're on a yacht. Sorry. Old habits die hard.
So they continue. I have a friend who's a band marching band director. She is like a choreographer and director of marching bands. That is some serious shit. She's been doing it for like 30 years. It's crazy. And they are intense people, those marching band people. They're no joke.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my God, look at that formation. Like, she'll watch it on TV, like the competitions and stuff. And she'll be like, oh, what a sloppy formation. I'm like, they are literally shaped in the form of a bird that's flying. This is amazing. It's like losers. We're like, lift your knees. Like, wow, it's really intense. It's a lot more intense than I ever thought it would be.
I have a vendetta against the marching band because in college, my dorm was relatively close to the football field. And on game days, the marching band, for whatever reason, would come running through our dorm and only our dorm at like 9 a.m. to be like, come to the game. And they'd like make all this noise and it'd wake me up every Saturday. And I was like, go fuck yourselves. I'm not going to go to the game out of protest because of you. I hated the marching band because of that. Otherwise, I mean, they were fun at the games. But like, don't come running through my dorm and pound on my door to get me to go to the game. That's not how it's going to work.
Hi. Just please disregard that. Anybody who's been listening to us plug the crappies for the past. We do that to people's ears. That's what we do. We're like,
but we don't wake them up.
Look, get outside. The golden crappies is right now. It's right now. It was yesterday. You can still watch it. It was yesterday.
We're running through the hallways, just banging on doors.
We're not waking people up. And that seems to be the ongoing theme of this episode, is different ways that we've been woken up. And I would have to say, drunk girl falling on you 3 times in a row. That's probably the worst.
Yeah,
followed by annoying smoke detector. But I'm going to say marching band storming through when you're like hung, when you got wasted the night before. That's a bad one as well.
We'll come up
with others over the course of the episode, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a bad one. So they continue clean. So now Joao's talking to Daisy and checking with her because they made out last night, you guys. And he's like, it was a good night. Just a little ropey this morning, but I'll power through. And she's like, did you hook up with anyone, man? He's like, I'm not just here for a hookup anymore, especially with the yachting, because I'm a captain now. I'm a very, very different man, you stupid cut fitness. And she's like, fair, that's fair. He's like, I apologize for dropping you in the sand. We see they're very romantic.
In Zim, that is the height of being a gentleman, actually. But I apologize nevertheless. I was normally a bit ropey.
In Zim, normally we would wait for our wedding night. When everybody is gathered around us, we say, I do. And then I take the bride, I pick her up, and I throw her in the sand. But you know, we're not married yet. And that was a step too far. I'm sorry.
They say it is it was derived from the Jewish tradition of stomping on some glass. So instead, what we do is we throw the bride on the sand.
That's okay. You nearly caught me, and then you dropped me. It's more than Gary ever did.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then we go to get Eddie and Mike cleaning the deck, and Mike's like, Eddie. And he's like, oh, I don't remember, mate, but I was pissed last night, you know, just thinking Alicia. Yeah, it's just all about her being like, I can't get you out of my head. And then I said, same. He's like, what is this? The love boot? It's the love boot.
Did you tell Joel about Alicia message you before bed?
And he's like, yeah, of course I did, because I've told literally every single person on this boat. And Mike is like, when you were getting off with Jenna, I think she just got jealous. Like Alicia has always said, I've had a bit of a flirt. So Alicia walks out while they're talking about this. And so they're like, ooh, awkward. So then Mike is trying to make it unawkward he does this thing where he's like, ooh, good. We need to work something out here. And I feel like you're part of this. And so then, and then Eddie pulls out a chair for her to sit in, which, by the way, this is actually so incredibly inappropriate for a workplace to be like, we hooked up last night and now we're talking about it. And now you have to sit here and answer questions about it. Like, this would actually be a massive HR violation in any other workplace already. And we haven't even gotten into it.
There's no HR on Below Deck. This show would have been shut down years ago. HR is called like, honey, relax. It's the honey, relax department. What are you upset about? Honey, relax.
HR stands for get over here, honey riblets.
So Mike. So Mike is like, have a seat. Okay, we're just talking about how you were messaging Eddie, which is like so embarrassing for her. Well, I should say it doesn't, in her, based on what she's saying, she's embarrassed. And Alicia's like, you know what, I told you to fuck off and just stop being a drunken idiot, basically. And Eddie's like, kind of. And she's like, I wish you paid more attention to the job that you're supposed to be doing than thinking about what other people are texting. Unless you have texts directly, it wasn't anything to do with you. He's like, no, but when someone comes to me and says that Alicia was messaging us last night, she's like, you said that, Eddie. He's like, well, I didn't say it in a bad way. I said it in a, wouldn't it be fun if we did a marching band formation of me and Alicia doing it?
I didn't say it in a bad way. I was just trying to give him a boner. Is that so wrong? And she's like, I just like to flirt to make myself feel better, all right? Because I'm flat out with work and there's so much to do and you're busy up here fucking talking about who's flirting with who. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm stressed. And when I'm stressed, I flirt with random people. Mike's like, actually, I'm hoovering up here, so I'm cleaning. She's like, oh, God, I'm bored of this conversation. If I hear you gossiping instead of working one more fucking time, I'm going to shave the ball hair off of your head. All right.
The bush shaved the bald hair off. So the Mike is like, he's like, no, oh, I think he said bald hair. I was like, oh, that's, that was sort of,
no, because I think he got the, like a, he got the ball, yeah, the ball, he got his ball hair taken and put on top of his head in Turkey. That's why he has a pubic head.
But you shouldn't be flirting and having a crack with anyone because you've got a boyfriend. And she's like, and you should be working right now. He's like, but you've got a boyfriend, so I'm not allowed to talk while I'm working. And she's like, but you're not working, you're talking. Alicia, there's honestly no need to get wound up about it. It's like, yes, there's 100% a reason to get wound up about it because you're like, you are not working and you're now suddenly like being super judgy about the text messages that she sent. And like, that's just none of your business.
It's none of your business. And you're saying don't get wound up about it, but you're the one wound up running around telling everybody and freaking out about it, you weirdo. So she's like, well, I'm pissed because every time I see you, you're just gossiping. And he's like, well, it's disrespectful towards your boyfriend. Oh, shut up. Just shut up. So he's like, well, maybe you could care about your boyfriend because you're in a relationship. Yeah, and you aren't and you never will be, you little chicken nugget. And I don't mean that in like the nice way. Jerk. So she's like, I'm at work, just fucking pick up a hoover.
So Mike is like, I mean, we're having a little bit of a gossip, but she's trying to pin the point as if like I'm not doing my work and trying to deflect that she's in the wrong. I'm like, she's not deflecting, it just has nothing to do with you, and like she's clearly embarrassed and you're sitting here gossiping and you're trying to like put her on the spot to answer for things that you don't have a right to ask in the first place, and she doesn't want to do it, and you're also not working, and like there's all, basically you're wrong in every single different category. I wish I could have stuck the landing on my little speech there, and I couldn't do it, but the point is you're wrong.
She's deflecting that she's in the wrong, and you're deflecting because you have no stories to tell about yourself getting any, because you can't and you never will. So yeah. Stay in your corner, Gollum. So Daisy comes up the stairs because Alicia is now yelling at him, and she's like, what's going on? We don't like yelling on this board. And Alicia is like, it's my fucking face saying you've got a boyfriend, stop flirting. When I was like, I'm here to work, mate. You know, we're here to work. Why don't you work? I need to flirt to keep concentrated. And so now we go to Joao, and it's all awkward with the guys. And Joao's like, wow, that blew up. Next time, throw her on the sand. It'll be romantic. It's a gesture of peace.
But also, Joao, you could have said something. You were right there the entire time, and it could have been like, Mike, get back to work, because he is on the deck right now. And you just, I don't like, Joao was being a way too passive during this as someone who's a supervisor. So now Alicia is just like really upset, and he's like, okay, go take a coffee. Wait a second, have Ben make you the coffee because I don't trust you to make your own coffee. She's like, it's a simple process. You just put paint thinner on top of a napkin and then you put it in your mouth. No, see, this is why I can't work in the kitchen anymore.
Tell Ben to make your coffee then, but tell him not to do it slowly.
So then Mike is vacuuming. He's like, if you need to relax, it's not that deep. So Daisy walks up and she's like, Mike, what the fuck happened? He's like, nothing happened. Well, what did you do to Alicia? It's like, well, I was literally outside and she obviously stood behind us. Are you gossiping, Mike? No. Yeah, you were gossiping. I know you're gossiping because when you gossip, your hair looks even more like a tulip.
I love that she just calls him out. She's like, you were a gossip and don't lie to me. And he's like, okay, well, I was just having a laugh with the boys. Yeah, but she's not fronting it funny then. Yeah, but she's got a boyfriend. That's none of your business, Mac. All right, if she wants to flirt with them, that's between them. Stay out of that.
I just love her yelling at these incompetent fucks. So Mike is like,
he's like, well, what do you want us to do?
Vacuum, you fucking idiot. You have a vacuum in your hand. Press the power button and move it forward and backwards, please.
So then we go to Daisy and Jason, and he's like, how's Mama Bear going? She's like, oh, fucking working overtime over here, bunch of dicks. Well, I'll leave that to you. I don't want to know anything going on in this boat. All right. Nothing ever. Right. Unless it's a little tiny M&M talking to me, I don't want to hear it. It's like, well, Mark is wrong for gossiping. And Alicia is, well, should 100% stand up for herself, but she doesn't need to do it at a decibel of 100. Like, what the fuck? I mean, Captain heard ya. Alicia, be smarter as well. The two of you are fucking dumbasses.
So Alicia, Daisy checks in on Alicia, and Alicia is like, I know I shouldn't have reacted like that, but he just winds me up. I know, I get it. So then we go to Mike and Jenna by the bar, and Mike's like, oh, Jenna, I've got something to tell you.
This fucking
Daisy
guy
just told me I should stop gossiping, so guess what? I've got some gossip for you.
This fucking guy. So now we go back to Daisy and Alicia, and she's like, you can't react like that, because it's not going to solve anything, and I don't want you to, you know, Jason or the other crew and stuff like that. Well, you know how Eddie kissed Jenny yesterday? Like, then Eddie's telling all the boys, and I don't like that either.
So Mike, meanwhile, is like,
Eddie came up to us, and I said, all right, Eddie, what's happening? He says, Alicia was messaging him last night saying, I can't get you out of my head. And Jenna's like, no, hang on. No, you gotta twist it. It's what happens with gossip. It's gossip.
Yeah, so meanwhile, Alicia's like, he doesn't have any integrity. She's like, no, he's a gossip. Come on. And then back to Mike. Jenna's like,
Eddie came up to you and said, Alicia messaged him last night. Is that what happened? Well, where did this Eddie thing come from? He's like, well, I didn't think it was a thing. Well, me neither. I just feel so used because if Eddie likes Alicia and I'm the pawn between them to make someone jealous, and they're both poor. Everybody's poor. I'm actually kind of put off. I mean, why lay it on so thick? I mean, do the whole drama just for a kiss and then to chat with Alicia?
I feel so used. Anyway, let me go find some sort of rich man to take to improve my lifestyle.
Also, she's totally just using Eddie to make Ben notice her, you know? So I like that it was that like too. A mutual use gone wrong. Dun, dun, dun.
It's like Cruel Intentions. Mm-hmm. A very bad version of Cruel Intentions. So Jenna's like,
I'm so confused now. She's cracking out all the glass.
So then Daisy is still talking to Alicia. She's like, no screaming and shouting around the boat.
Yeah, copy that.
I said no screaming. Repeat after me. No screaming.
No screaming.
Say it louder. I can't hear you.
No screaming.
Louder. No screaming.
No screaming.
God damn it, Alicia. You're screaming.
So then we go to Ben talking to the engineer Flurg, and he's like, speaking of not getting laid ever, Flurg, what's going on with the fan? And he's like, oh, just waiting for motor spare part. Then we can install at some point.
Has this ever happened before with the fan?
Yes, it happens.
Oh, really? So this has happened with the fan and nobody's done shit to the fan before?
If it's fan, you know, fans sometimes work, sometimes says no.
But you know what we can use instead of fan? Potato.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I thought you're the chef. Put the potato in there and see what happens.
So Daisy sees Mike and she's like, are you working hard? And he's like, yes, she is. So they're all watching him and he's like taking forever to clean the table. Like he's the worst. So now it's head of department meeting, guys. A preference sheet time. All right, charter three. Here we go. Mecca is a New York City founder of a lifestyle magazine. Pink, spelled P-Y-N-K. All right. It's not the singer. All right. This is a magazine online. It celebrates black women and curates elevated experiences for them. Let's go see Mecca at work, shall we? It's the new Below Deck.
Cut to Daisy taking down all her ringing. God damn it. I thought it was the singer. with all the ropes. She's pulling down all the bungee cords. So, Mecca. Mecca's in Brooklyn. Mecca's the primary. And she has a co-primary named Joy. And Mecca's like, oh, if something is not up to my standards, you're definitely going to know. But funny enough, I am, and as sassy as I can be, I feel like I'm the softer one from the rest of my charter guests. So then,
Mecca
has visited over 40.
They show a scene of her like decorating a party or something, and they're hanging fringe tassel things in arches. And she's like, so this is going to be fringe tassels, and then we're going to have plants growing out of these. And they're like, no, it's just the fringe. Okay, well, so the fringe is going to be hanging down in people's faces. They're like, yeah, I think that's what they want. She's like, oh, well, it's not what I want. And I'm Mecca. Move the fringe back up. That's why I make the big bucks.
Like, what are these scenes?
Standards.
What are these scenes? What are they?
I splurge on vacations regularly. We did Egypt together. We closed down the entire St. Regis in New Cairo. So it was just for us. Everything luxury, over the top, Birkin wearing, Bentley driving, all the good food, all the drinks. I like to see the money, you know? When you're spending six figures on a vacation, you want to see six figures on your vacation. Or, in the case of this, when you spend $10,000 on a heavily discounted yacht ride, I want to see that $10,000.
I'm a millionaire. A millionaire. From fringe parties or whatever. So back to the present. Jason's like, she's excited. She's coming aboard with Karen, Michelle, Tamika, and Erica. Mecca is looking forward to five-star service with meals every 2 minutes.
And tablescapes. Don't forget the tablescapes with fringe. So Mecca says, nobody should ever be intimidated by my standards. I think if they are, they should raise their own. So Mecca's like, I did everything audition Real Housewife.
Everything she says sounds like a housewife tagline. If something's not up to my standards, you're definitely going to know. Mecca.
In this town, you'll be making a pilgrimage to me, Mecca.
If you're intimidated by my standards, you should raise your own, Mecca.
It's funny because Mecca was like, I have high standards. Watch out, blah, blah, blah. And they try to make her seem like she'd be like, no nonsense and so mean. I actually thought she was really nice, oddly enough. She was like, she was sort of direct, but I was like, Mecca seems nice. Was I crazy? I liked her.
Yeah, I mean, she was fine. For below deck guests, you know what I mean? I'm gonna come in there and I'm gonna rip everyone a new asshole. And then she's like, this was lovely, thank you.
I think that just after the trauma of the painted ballroom dancer lady that who nearly died of a heat stroke, I'm like, everyone's like, oh, there's just an angel. Everyone just seems great.
Yeah, that's true. And also the Real Housewives were before them, so it's like, she seems like an angel comparatively. I just always laugh at the below deck people, especially now that we're getting their backstories like this, because they're all like, well, I'm rich. And you know what I like? Birkins. I like Birkins hanging from the ceilings. I like diamonds coming out of the water faucets. And that's why I'm going on a discounted cruise.
I expect
Groupon cruise. You're getting half off the cruise. And they're like, I'm the richest person in the world. And here's my coupon. Do not forget to take 50% off. Thank you. Mecca.
Seriously. I expect high quality food, Michelin level food, which is why I'm basically going on a yacht for 3 days to get food like it was unchopped.
Getting Chex Mix and grocery store bought muffins every morning.
Seriously. So Alicia texts her boyfriend because he's like, hey, how was your day? And she's like, busy, busy, busy. By the way, we forgot to mention that Mecca wants to end with an opulent 6-course black tie dinner. So that's something to keep an eye out for. So everyone's done for the day. Mike walks by Ellie. They have some small talk. And he's like, I'm buzzing that I got a little peck off of Ellie. It's enough to know that she's into me as well. I'm like, no, it's just that you forced your lips onto her lips. And she.
There was literally no hint that Ellie liked you. None. She recoiled. She literally recoiled from you, sir. And she says, I don't really intend to go there with what's his name?
Yeah, not him. Well, I feel like me and Ellie could probably get down and dirty. Ooh. She's like, yes, I've got my eyes on the prize, and my prize is Joao. Ooh, melding genetics. Yes, meld.
When she said that last week, that's haunted me.
I have a primal urge to merge my genetics with Joao.
Wow. I was like, are you from outer space? Daisy pokes her head out of her cabin and she's like, Joao, get over here. She's like, okay, I'm going to be there in one zim second. No, get here right now in an Irish second. It's not gossip. It's Mike. He's causing serious drama and I'm going to sit down and have a proper talk with him and tell him it's like actually pretty serious. He's like, I'll back you up, of course, with Mike. And if you need me to drop you in the sand, I will do that again. Hallowed zim tradition. Shut up about the sand. We got discipline, Mike.
So now they go find Mike and they sit him down and Mike is like, oh, they've got a crush on me. I feel it coming. They want to bang me. Here it comes. And so Daisy says, is this scary for you, Mike? And he's like, no, not really. Joao's like, ha ha, that might be the problem, mate. Now listen, here's the thing. We enjoy your banter. We love it. You know that, you know it, you know, and there's no doubt about it. But the main reason we're here is to work.
Yes. And Mike's like, well, I'm not very good at the work, I'm afraid. I was like, don't say that to your bosses. And she's like, you're not being fast enough. You're not being very efficient. And the girls, they're getting frustrated because they're having to micromanage. And then the gossip. Yes, it's all fun and games until it's not anymore. It's all fun and games until next thing you know, I'm lying there naked with my dick pressed into the sundae bed. Not fun anymore. So you've got to understand, you know, you could at any stage, if anyone's not happy with you in particular, you will be fired.
Well, I really don't want to lose this job. I've tried a variety of jobs in the past, from military to bartending. I tried a dating show. I tried OnlyFans. I tried running events between Mallorca and Ibiza with some friends, and none of them stuck. I know I do have a big personality, but I really do want to make this yachting career work.
Okay, let's maybe, like, before you throw in the towel on, like, working, let's look at your CV again. Your CV is like doing parties in Mallorca and Ibiza, OnlyFans, bartending, a dating show. And then there was the military. So like maybe don't do the party jobs, like maybe work at Starbucks or drive Uber or something.
Like, pick a class.
He's like, I can't get a job to seek. I'm like, that's because you're doing jobs where you're probably out there getting wasted every single day.
And they're temporary too, like a dating show.
Yeah.
I tried a dating show. What did you think was going to come from that exactly?
I know.
So now we go to Mike taking a nap, which is what you want to see right after, you lecture somebody on working harder. And then, Joao, Daisy, and Ellie are in the crew mess and they decide to go have a glass of wine. So Ellie's like, oh, you want to have some wine? And Joao's like, oh, sure. I'll meet you down there. She's like, okay, get your genetics ready. So he goes out and he walks by Alicia and she's sleeping on the couch and he's like, oh, you're just sleeping on the couch. Would you like to come ruin Ellie's dreams right now of growing my children inside of her? She's like, sure, that sounds fun. So now it's the three of them on a bench and Ellie is pissed. She's like, oh,
she is not happy at all. And she's like,
I'm going to go back inside. Genetics on pause.
So she goes inside and is like, no. No, Ellie, don't leave.
I'm all good. I will go inside now. Hot woman going inside.
So Alicia's like, oh, I guess I crashed your date. He's like, there was no date here. Just a sweet guy from Zim enjoying wine with two other girls. Zim with Zin, if you will.
So Ellie is walking right when Alicia goes, well, she's quite sweet, isn't she? Ellie just walks back in and goes, I'm not down for three ways. God damn it. So Joao's like, are you feeling okay? And she's like, I'm a bit emotionally drained, you know, good sleep would solve everything. And she puts her head on his shoulder. And meanwhile, Ellie and Jenna are in the crew mess and they can see all of this on the video screen.
Oh, so he's like, oh, let's have a glass of wine outside on the beach. And then he walks up with wine and another girl. I was like, what the fuck? I got out of there.
Alicia's a little loosey-goosey for someone who's a boyfriend, don't you think?
She's so funny, Jenna. I'm sorry, I thought you were finished. What were you saying then?
No, it's okay. I only interrupt you about 45 times per second. So
I'm sorry, I keep doing it.
Okay.
But, Jenna, just how she said it was so funny. She's like, that girl's a little loosey-goosey for a girl with a boyfriend. Donk, donk.
Yeah, because we see Jenna already was giving stink eye to Ellie, so for sure she's going to be giving it to Alicia. So Jenna's like,
if a man asks me something and another bitch comes, just like, fuck, no, I agree. And he's like, thank you, Jenna, for validating my feelings.
So then on the bench, Alicia's doing the whole, I can't win. And she snuggles up on Joao. So Ellie sees this and she's like seething. She's like,
hold on. This is escalating. My genetics are in harm's way. There's an intruder for genetic merging. Get out of the way. They're going to get soon.
Incorrect. Genetics incoming.
Coming soon to FX. Ellie Earth.
Like a spaceship.
So,
Let me turn this up.
Like a spaceship just crashed into New Bangkok, and there's a whole bunch of little Ellies on there trying to merge genetics with hot men.
Oh, they're kissing, and they're not kissing. You're still in the game there. Don't worry there, darling. All right, listen here, licorice lips. It's all going to be okay.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors...
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plane.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.